You might have noticed that over the course of the last couple weeks and today and even for the next couple weeks, our gospel is being taken from the 6th chapter of St. John's gospel. It is a large section that is known as the Bread of Life discourse, because Jesus speaks of himself as the bread of life in answer to the question from the scribes that Moses gave bread from heaven. What can you do? And then Jesus proceeds to give his teaching ultimately on the Eucharist. He ends today by saying this bread of life that he will give is his flesh, the Eucharist. It's interesting that John's gospel does not have a story at the Last Supper of the institution of the Eucharist. You won't find in John's gospel Jesus taking bread and saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." Rather, biblical scholars think that that's because this 6th chapter is really John's version of explaining the teaching on the Eucharist. And so we get it for about 5 weeks here. And they always told us in seminary that when you're preaching on this now, be careful. Don't go blow your whole Eucharist homily on one Sunday, because you got five. So space it. So heeding that wisdom, today I would take this opportunity that maybe we'll focus on just one particular aspect of the Eucharist. One that, I admit that this homily is going to be short. It's got one basic teaching, but it's complicated. Okay, so short but advanced. You gotta kind of put your thinking cap on a little bit for this one, because we're going to talk a little philosophy. Because one of the key things, if I could summarize the short point of today's teaching, is that things are not always as they appear. Things are not always as they appear. Now, put a little more philosophically, for instance, if we were to take something like, say, an orange, the fruit that we all know that we call an orange, well, it has certain properties that make it an orange. Some of those properties are the way it looks. It's orange in color, hence that's why we call it an orange. But it's also got a taste, a texture, a smell. All those properties, philosophically, we use the word accidents. Just like you would crash your car, accidents. It kind of implies that they wouldn't have to be that way. There's nothing about an orange that necessarily means that it has to be orange. Rather, we recognize that you could change the color of an orange, you could dye it purple, and it would still be an orange. You didn't really change the fact that it was an orange, you just changed its color. You changed one of its accidents, color. There's something orangeness that didn't change. And that part that makes an orange that doesn't change no matter what color it happens to be, that we call substance. What it really is, it's substance. So there's two fancy philosophy words, accidents and substance. Accidents encompass everything our senses can perceive. Smell, touch, look, taste, qualities. But what it really is its substance. It's important when we come to talk about the Eucharist, because the church has used this language of theology and philosophy to help explain what happens during Mass. You see, we bring forward ordinary bread and wine. It has all the properties of bread and wine. It is bread and wine. So it looks, tastes, smells, touches, everything like bread and wine. But at the consecration, when the priest speaks those words and says, "This is my body, this is my blood," those words bring about a change. A change not at the level of the accidents, what we see or perceive, but at that level of substance, what it really is. The words that the priests speak are powerful. We know that the word of God was able to breathe over the waters. He said, "Let there be light," and there was. Jesus said to people who were deaf, "Hear," and they could hear, or "Rise and walk," and people got up. The word of God is powerful. So when God, through using the priest, says, "This is my body, this is my blood," over bread and wine, they are substantially changed, although the accidents remain the same. Now, that's not easy. That's why I say that's advanced. You heard it, you got it. But to unpack that, you got to go home and think about that for a bit, because that doesn't normally happen. Normally, when we look at something, that actually helps us see what it is. But in the case of the Eucharist, this one instance is so unique that the church created a word to refer just to what happens at Mass. And that word is transubstantiation. I'll say that again. Transubstantiation. The word trans means a change in, and substantiation, you can hear the word substance in that. Transubstantiation just means a change in substance. That's what happens at Mass. We shouldn't be surprised then that when we come forward to receive communion, that it still tastes like bread, tastes like wine, would have all the effects of wine. If we were to look at it under a microscope, you know, it's no great surprise that scientists come out and say, we examined the Eucharist, and it's just bread, has all the qualities of bread and wine. Well, of course it does, because those are accidents, accidental properties, and the church teaches that they don't change. It's going to taste like bread, it'll look like bread, it has all the microscopic properties of bread, but those are all accidental properties. What it is at its substance has been completely changed, and what is on our altar after the consecration is completely God. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God is on our altar. If you ask somebody, what is the Eucharist after the consecration? It is God, plain and simple, although it appears differently. It appears as food because Jesus wants us to consume it, to eat it. As we'll hear him say, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. We are meant to receive Jesus into our very souls. And what could be closer than the food we eat? So we receive the Eucharist under this appearance, this sign of food. But what it really is, what its substance is God. There is no bread left after the consecration, no wine left, only God under the appearances of bread and wine. You see how important that is to understanding the Eucharist. Things are not always as they appear. In our first reading today, Elijah is told, eat this little cake, drink this jug of water. He won't do it. It seems pointless. But when he does it, he walks 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness. Obviously, that bread and water was not what it appeared. Jesus himself was not what he appeared to be. He appeared to be just an ordinary guy. And yet, he was God. And obviously, how tragic it would be if we would take things just as they appear and perhaps even not come to the Eucharist, thinking it to be just bread and wine. Things are not always as they appear. And on our altar, in just a moment, we will bring forward bread and wine, and at the words of Jesus, they will be changed completely into God. In our gospel today, Jesus says, he is the bread of life. The bread that he will give is his flesh. And if we eat that bread, we will live forever. Seems strange that we could eat bread and live forever. Indeed, this bread is much more than what it appears to be.